Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live with the full CHGO White Sox crew. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. And the man who is usually in the middle but is now just next to me, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at Eckerwall23 with last year's Hawaiian shirt behind you.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right. You're getting into the promo season. You went yesterday with Vinny to Guaranteed Rate Field, saw the new food, and you had to bust out everything in the promo closet, huh? I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. We're being produced today by Steven. Make sure you're hitting the thumbs up button and subscribing to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. And we were just told before we went live that we'll have new shirts on Monday for the opening day. So, we won't be live. So follow us at CHGO_White Sox, and we will send out that link when they go live Monday morning. So make sure you're tuning in, following, liking, subscribing, and we're gonna have a good day. We got one final show until spring training. Is our last spring training show, guys. I mean, how does it feel? We are done. We finally saw the light at the end of the tunnel. We won't have a show on Monday and Tuesday, but we'll be back with you on Wednesday. We'll be predicting the 2024 season, and then on that Thursday, we got the opening day show at Ballpark Pub. So we got a huge, huge week coming up next week. What are your thoughts now that it's finally arrived?
Well, you know, nothing says the end of spring training and the start of summer like looking out the window behind me and seeing snow falling. So that's always great. But no, listen, this has been an interesting spring. I think, you know, even if the expectations are not high in the fan base, I still think there's been a lot that we've talked about and we've, you know, taking great interest in, and that's going to roll right on into the season. When we see people next week, we're going to have a lot to talk about, starting with, of course, the still surprising opening day starter that is Garrett Crochet. So literally the first thing that happens during the White Sox regular season might end up being the story of the season. That's pretty much all you can ask for from an interest standpoint, I think.
So glad that we made it through. It didn't seem as long as the other spring trainings that we've gone through, but because the team was different, I think the other two teams had expectations. This one we know that didn't have any expectations, so we're kind of relaxed on spring training and not putting a lot of weight on it, at least I was. And so I'm looking forward to next Thursday where we get to see Garrett Crochet go to the bump against Tarik Skubal. I can't wait until next Thursday. And our Wednesday show, I'm waiting for that one too, because our predictions are going to be hot.
You better get into Skubal, because if you're not, we're kicking you off the show. All right, that's the one rule that we have, is that you got to go into the Skubal every time you say it, or then it's just not a bit. All right, we got to commit to the bit. You just can't say Tarik Skubal. It doesn't hit the same. A lot coming up, and you guys talked about Crochet yesterday. Surprised he threw 80 pitches. Did you guys talk about that, or did that news come out post-show?
We talked about it. Initially, I asked Vinny, and he said, no, this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is how you're supposed to be practicing so you can play next week at the same rate. So I was not surprised that he threw 80, and I just want to see the results of how he feels on today, tomorrow, the next day. And if he's ready to go on opening day, then it was all good.
Yeah, I mean, like I said yesterday, I mean, maybe surprised a little bit because he hadn't gone more than just a handful of innings, two or three innings prior to that. But to get up to 81 pitches shows that he can get up to 81 pitches. And if he's going to be on that same track that a starting pitcher is usually on, should be able to throw more next week when the season starts. So we'll see exactly where they feel comfortable letting him go to, whether that's based on, pitches or innings. Usually it's based on pitches, but and we'll obviously track the progress. But Herb's exactly right. It's what happens in this in between that is probably going to inform the White Sox the most.
Yeah, I think what's probably the most, encouraging thing from Crochet's outing yesterday is obviously the 80 pitch mark. But then in the bottom of the fourth, going 1-2-3, obviously had troubles in the first, the second, and the third. But my whole worry about him is if that fastball velocity isn't there, will he be hit like we've seen before? But it did seem like he kind of settled down. So we'll see. I mean, this is going to be the most interesting thing I think to happen in White Sox baseball since the firing of Rick and Kenny. Right. I mean, nothing interesting has happened so far. Maybe Tim being declined, but I think Crochet being named the opening day starter is the most interesting thing since Rick and Kenny have been gone. But let's talk today about our main subject. You mentioned that spring training is right around the corner. We mentioned that spring training is pretty much over for us. Yet the White Sox have 40 plus people still in camp. They need to get it down to 26. Herb said we need 18 more to go. So how do we figure this out? We're going to spend at least probably 30 minutes on this, trying to figure out who are going to be the 26 men on the White Sox roster. We do have 17. Do we like the list that we have? Do we have 17 for sure? I had 16 that I sent to you guys, and then I was mixing Flex in.
You also forgot Dominic Fletcher for some nice behind the scenes talk for our listeners here. You think Dominic Fletcher is going to get sent down?
Well, I don't know if he's going to get sent down, but let's talk to the CHGO White Sox beat reporter, Vinny Duber, who's been plugged in and has gone down to spring training at Camelback Ranch. Has Dominic Fletcher won this job? Has he shown enough? We've seen a lot about, Michael Kopech, Garrett Crochet. A lot of it is about results. Has Dominic Fletcher shown the results that the White Sox have wanted? Or regardless of the results, Dominic Fletcher is their right fielder?
I think there's probably some gray area in there, but I think, yes, he's going to be their right fielder. But while Chris Getz told us at the beginning of spring training that he expects him to be the guy that gets the bulk of the playing time, if we're going by what we've seen from Pedro Grifol this spring, we have seen Kevin Pillar start a lot. And I don't think that should be forgotten, because it might be a situation where, yeah, Dominic Fletcher is kind of the guy who the front office might be circling as the guy for future planning. He's young, he's controllable, he was impressive in a small sample size in the major leagues last year. But maybe the manager himself feels a little bit more comfortable throwing a guy out there who can be depended on to, what we've been talking about all spring, do all those little things that Pedro wants to see from everybody this year. Not that Dominic Fletcher isn't that type of player. I think he probably is. But certainly Kevin Pillar is a guy who's been in baseball a long time and has shown, particularly on the defensive side, that he can be kind of trotted out there and deliver what you would expect from him. It's not going to be maybe something that is going to excite the fan base, but he's a veteran with that veteran experience. So I think Dominic Fletcher is still the White Sox right fielder. That being said, he might not be, starting 160 games. We'll have to see how it plays out, just because it seems like Pedro Grifol has liked what he's seen from Kevin Pillar.
On February 20th, Vinny, you tweeted out that Chris Getz had said that Dominic Fletcher had the leg up, and now subsequent when games have been played, friends, it's been really tough. I get why you have pause, Sean, because the man hasn't hit at all down there in spring training. And we've seen this team go by results of how you've done in spring training, more or less the Michael Kopech demotion, the promotion of Garrett Crochet, and the second starter of Michael Soroka. So if they follow that track, they would probably have a person. I don't know. They need to have another left-handed person that can play right field, because Kevin Pillar has demonstrated he can't hit no-handedness, especially right-handers. So he probably will get the majority starts versus left-handers, and the opening day start right there with the White Sox play next Thursday versus Tarik Skubal. There you go.
Thank you.
But I think that Dominic Fletcher will have the majority of the starts versus right-handed pitchers when it comes to right-handed, when they play.
Fletcher's playing in his 22nd spring training game today. He has not had an at-bat, but as you mentioned, the numbers are pretty ugly. 152, 250 on base, and then a 196 slugging for Fletcher. And Vinny, I think going back to the Pilar thing you mentioned about Pilar having so many starts, Fletcher has played more, 18 games, though, for Pilar, 44 at-bats for Pilar, 250 average, 306 on base, 386 slugging. Neither of them really, you know, wowing in camp. But on Twitter, you mentioned, you know, where this kind of sparked all the talk of, you know, camp battle. You mentioned Pilar versus Phillips versus Ortega versus Peyton. So you did put Pilar a notch below Fletcher. Is it kind of clear that it's just going to be the righty Pilar and Fletcher the lefty in camp, and that's the right field? Like, are we really considering Rafi Ortega, Brett Phillips, and Mark Peyton, or are they just in camp still?
Yeah, I mean, I was mostly referring to the fact that they still are there and haven't been sent down yet. I think when you get to this point, obviously there's so many pitchers still in White Sox camp that, you know, you might not be guessing anything. You could just say, oh my God, this might break 100 different ways, but you can kind of at least distill things on the position player side down to that. I mean, there are four quote unquote backup outfielders still in camp, and there's only one roster spot for the four of them. So you would assume that that competition is still going on, even if maybe team brass has already decided with just a few days left in spring training. But yeah, I mean, I put him a notch down on Fletcher. I wasn't expecting, because of what we heard after the trade was made for Dominic Fletcher, I wasn't expecting there to be a platoon situation. Obviously spring training was for them a time for them to learn about things, and maybe they feel differently than they did back then, you know, a little over a month ago. But I still just think that Fletcher is a guy who kind of can be, you know, looked at as part of the future planning a little bit. I mean, look who they gave up to get him, a guy who was a pretty well thought of, you know, pitching prospect in Christian Mena. So I don't think, you know, the bottom's going to drop out on a guy that they just acquired after having him for just a month. But that being said, you know, maybe the plans have been adjusted a little bit as they make their way into the regular season. Like I said, there's not a ton of reliability to be had across this roster, to be quite honest. And so if Pedro Grifol is comfortable looking at Kevin Pilar and saying, okay, that guy might not, you know, set the world on fire offensively, but he's a guy that I can rely on to do something, maybe we see more of him than we assumed when camp started.
I think you said the key thing there, Vinny. Fletcher got traded for Christian Mena. So I think the leg up comment that Chris Getz had was telling, because that's his guy. Now he has acquired this guy for a guy that wasn't his guy. Like, we're talking about Michael Kopech getting sent down. He had no loyalty towards him. There's nothing that he did for Michael Kopech. He didn't draft him. He didn't cultivate him. He didn't do any of this stuff. So he has no loyalty towards him. I think the Fletcher thing, he's going to get the playing time because he already had, you know, playing time last year for the Arizona Diamondbacks and showed out pretty well in his brief time. And also that Chris and his staff have identified him as the guy that they want to play right field and have some success. No matter, I don't even think he gets the, you know, if you're struggling type of thing and gets sent down. I think they're going to ride this thing till the wheels fall off, because he is their guy. It has to work. And they'll give it every option to work, because if Christian Mena is the guy that people think he is down there in Arizona, will regain a couple MPHs on his fastball. You need Dominic Fletcher to be at least a serviceable right fielder for the White Sox. It'd be really bad if he didn't make the opening day roster and then didn't really do anything, because he's already 26 years old. He's not a spring chicken.
Yeah, and just looking at the players that he's competing with, Fletcher's a lefty, Pilar's a righty, Phillips is a lefty, Ortega's a lefty, Peyton's a lefty. So a lot of lefties in camp. I really seems like Pilar's going to be the right-handed bat, especially when they talk so much about defense. That's Pilar's MO and has been in Major League Baseball, and it does seem like Fletcher, with what they gave up, will be the other right fielder. I don't really see just a way that, you know, Herb's nightmare of Brett Phillips being on the opening day roster is coming true. Ortega's 31 years old and really has never shown out to a great amount. He, I think, had one pretty decent season with the Cubs, and then Mark Peyton, St. Rita guy, and then I'll keep everything else to myself. But yeah, I don't know. It seems pretty clear that it's Fletcher and Pilar. It just seems like they're dragging their feet for some reason. Oh, okay. You got me scared. Demoted also sounds like he got sent to AAA, Herb. He sent to the bullpen.
Yeah.
That's Kopech, by the way. And we're interacting with the chat. Demoted isn't demoted the terminology you use to for AAA?
Yeah, but if you have a job and they take you from that job to another job.
I think he got moved.
Yeah, relegated would be more the AAA thing.
Boy,
semantics, right. Boys. Semantics. Yeah,
well, Herb loves semantics. I know he's a number one semantics guy on this podcast, so I always want to make sure that I have the right semantics with him. Let's take a break before we get too deep into the semantics. We'll go more into the position battles around. A lot of pitchers on this roster still. I think Vinny counted 22. So we will go through all 22 names that are healthy. There might be 24 too. We're still figuring out the mystery, but we want to let you know about Prize Picks. There's no mystery about Prize Picks. They are the number one fantasy daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. And what's super exciting is their great Caitlin Clark promo. I think for just a couple more hours, you can take more on her point prop, and there is a boosted point prop where you just have to have Caitlin Clark, the all-time NCAA scorer, as a number one seed, score a point. Just more than or less than half a point. So if you, hey, maybe you want to be really risky and just go less than, but I think they're giving you a gimme there by having Caitlin Clark score a point. So go check out our friends over at Prize Picks. It's very easy. Instead of battling thousands of players, including pros and sharks, you just pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. And you can make your entries in less than a minute. So if you're sitting down ready to watch the game, you could open up the Prize Picks app and get your entry in right before tip and be a part of the action on both Prize Picks for men's and women's college basketball as both tournaments are tipping off. So go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. We also had Infale Dante of the Oregon Ducks go over for us. Gave that out yesterday. So, hey. You know, we're enjoying Prize Picks with during the NCAA tournament. Also want to let you know about our friends over at, RayCDGR. We were up in Waukegan yesterday, close to our friends up in Fox Lake at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. If you are in the market for a new vehicle, go check out our friends at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake. They are celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And do you know what that means, boys?
No.
Is it March Madness, Sean?
No, that's the other Ray one. Oh, my bad. No, it means you'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory. It's their selection of inventory is rad. Maybe that's what we could work rad in.
You'll
rad
be able, able to rave about it.
There you go. For a limited time, lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for $439 a month for 39 months. And if that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to Ray's price promise. So don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big because Ray CDJR makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. And that's not all. Just for listening, you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule before April 1st. So if you're on the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram because they're the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com, serving the community since 1963. All right, so looking at the 17 names that I put on there. Yeah?
Can you hold on a second? I think Vinny might have some breaking news to report on.
Do we have a sounder?
I might.
What's
that?
It's that White Sox sign Robbie Grossman.
Indeed, they did.
To a contract.
That's breaking news.
Just announced it. I didn't even get an email yet.
I mean, we just
breaking news.
They literally just announced it.
Well, and here,
breaking news is like, you know, the president's been shot.
Wow.
That's it.
I mean, it's not White Sox sign Robbie Grossman to that's a minor the level, league deal.
So anything under there? No. Okay. Breaking news.
But hey, if you are talking about breaking sports news, is Robbie Grossman making, you know, national sporting news for signing a minor league contract? Breaking news is like someone got injured.
There's levels, as we talked about with demoted. There's levels to these things. So
imagine getting an invite to Major League Camp when Major League Camp is almost over.
Oh yeah, Robbie, you're cut 3 days later. Sorry, we got to pare it down. Like, that's really tough. That's, I guess he's going to be part of the shuffle. He's a lefty. I think he's a lefty.
He's
maybe
both.
Even a switch hitter. Yeah,
he's a lefty and a righty.
Yeah. Hey, maybe they don't like what they have, but they just heard our conversations. Like, you know what? We got to sign somebody else.
Maybe. Hey, yeah. Who needs a platoon if you hit from both sides of the plate? Grossman last year had 100 OPS for the Rangers. Before that, in 2022, he played for both the Tigers and Atlanta Braves and had a 78 OPS plus. He played 51 games for the A's in the pandemic and had a 128 OPS plus. And then the year after that, in 2021, 156 games and a 115 OPS plus for the Tigers. He's pretty mid, career OPS plus of 101. I don't think he really stands out in any way. And we talked a lot about, obviously, the platoon splits. Fletcher should be able to hit righties. Pilar should be able to hit lefties. I don't know who this is trying to force out. It is a minor league deal, too. So, hey, maybe just Robbie Grossman will have the ability to, you know, if by April 15th he's not on the White Sox, I forget what the name of the clause is, but Keston Hira has it for the Tigers. It's basically a promotion clause where if they don't promote him, the Tigers have to be like, hey, to every 29 teams, do you want Keston Hira and will you put him on the major league roster? And if they do, you're forced to trade with that team. So maybe it's something where Robbie Grossman has the ability to get promoted at a certain point. Cause I mean, he's major league ish. I mean, he's fringe. I don't know if he's a minor leaguer, but he's better than Phillips, Ortega and Peyton.
Yeah. I mean, I was in this offseason thinking about signing him for right field, even though he's more left fielder, just to, you know, have a solid bat out there. But, you know, when they get Fletcher and Deloach, I was like, all right, let's play the youngsters. I'm still of that mind. Play the youngsters. Who cares if Robbie Grossman's on the team necessarily? But it's, I think it's an indication that they're not necessarily thrilled with their current platoon and or depth they have on their outfield.
Does it have to be that, though, or is it? Could it just be, I mean, Robbie Grossman's still unsigned. It's March 22nd, and the White Sox are just like, hey, if he's not going to be signed, why don't we sign him? Like, I mean, I don't even know if it has to be, you know, this, you know, Pilar's bad and Fletcher's bad, and this is, you know, the sky's falling. We need to sign him. I mean, people have floated the idea of signing Jordan Montgomery just because no one else is doing it. So, hey, why not you do it? You know, I mean, he's better than all the other five starters.
Yeah, I mean – yeah, that's a good point. Just, you know, opening day is less than a week from now. Maybe you just say, hey, we'll sign him to a minor league deal, give him a couple days in camp, but he's going to go down to AAA, get ready, and then come back up at some point. And maybe that's just the best case scenario. So this is interesting. Another veteran, another guy who could probably be counted on to do a lot of the things that the White Sox are looking to get from their players this year. But certainly a little bit of a mystery why – with just a few days in camp left, you would keep adding to what appears to be your largest remaining position battle outside of the bullpen, at least in terms of the number of players who are involved in it. They now have five backup outfielders in camp. That's assuming that Dominic Fletcher is the right fielder. They have five backup outfielders in minor league camp with the team leaving from Arizona on Monday.
Woof. I do have some career numbers for Grossman. It does seem like he would be more of a replacement for Pilar than Fletcher versus right-handed pitching last year, a 633 OPS, just OPS. And then in his career versus right-handed pitching, a career OPS of 692 versus lefties last year, 953 OPS, not too bad. Versus lefties for his career, 808. So Grossman is a guy that historically has not chased a ton, 15.7% chase rate. That is the top 100 percentile of Major League Baseball. And he doesn't have a big whiff rate, walks a decent amount. I think Matt in the chat was sharing that he had a 357 on base percentage in 2021, which would have led the White Sox last year by a clear margin. And again, I'm not sure how his defense is. His arm's pretty weak, -2 arm value. His range is pretty bad, -5. And his arm strength is mid 50 percentile at I don't need to get into the arm strength numbers. No one cares. Any other thoughts about Grossman? Because, I mean, it does feel, I don't know, he's 35 in September, as Matt from Oakland in the chat adds. Like, I don't think it takes a ton for major league hitters to get ready. So, I mean, he could be ready by next Thursday.
It's not impossible. And again, maybe we will find out that it was a signal that they were unhappy with their choices in the outfield. That's why there are still so many guys out there, is because they're waiting for someone to separate. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of guys that do a lot of little things in there. And listen, if you were unhappy with the offense that you thought you were going to get out of, let's say, right field in general, even, you wouldn't have waited this long to address it, right? So I think the White Sox were, at least at some point recently, willing to go into the season with their right field situation what it was. Here's an opportunity maybe to get better, which is, hey, that's what Chris Getz always says, that hey, if there's something out there that allows us to get better, we'll take a look at it. Well, here they are. They took a look at it, right?
Yeah. And Sean, I don't disagree that it won't take a long time for him to get, you know, ramped up, but also I don't think he'll be ready for Thursday because multiple reasons. Because I don't think that Pedro and his staff want to say, we're all about competition, and then this dude comes in and a minor league contract and plays no games, and then, oh, you're a major leaguer. So what happened to the competition, coach? Why was I out here doing all this work? Well, Robbie Grossman could just walk in the door with the same minor league contract that I had and make the team. So I think that he'll be more than likely be sent down to Charlotte and get a couple reps down there until he is proven that he can do it down there, and or the people up here do not prove the job.
I hear your point, but also all the guys that are competing for the right field job have sucked in spring training. So it's also like, do your damn job. If you wanted the position, hit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Rafi Ortega wanted to come out and hit five homers, I don't think anyone would be upset and be like, hey, maybe Rafi Ortega deserves a spot. We'll see, though. AJ's saying he'll get called up in May after Pilar gets DFA'd. May's a pretty long leash. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think Robbie Grossman lasts long in the White Sox minor leagues, but we'll see. I mean, he adds to who was he going to bring up? The guy who played for the Braves last year, outfielder, does not matter. Tyler
Kevin Naquin. Pillar.
thank you, Manny. All right. And wait, did Dominic Fletcher just homer? Two-run shot.
That's heard our conversation
in the chat.
Is this being played on a jumbotron somewhere?
This is the fun of doing live shows. I don't know. Is it being played anywhere? Yeah. A deep shot apparently to right field off Emmanuel's of the Oakland A's. Whoever Joe Boyle is, Joe Boyle started the game with two-thirds of an inning and had to be relieved. And then Emmanuel's came up and gave up a jack to Dominic Fletcher. So, hey, Dominic Fletcher is happy that, you know, Robbie Grossman is being signed to replace Kevin Pillar and not him. So, all right, we got 18 guys now on the 40-man that we can include. Pillar, Fletcher, and we'll include other guy?
We're including Pillar?
Are all we not? That was my takeaway after this.
Then we'd be up to Pillar. 19, Sean. Oof. If you're putting Pillar on the team and Fletcher, that's up to 19.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. All right, so we're at 19 now. We'll break, we'll regroup, and we will try to figure out the next 6 to 7 spots on the White Sox opening day roster. But let's take a break and let you know about some of our great sponsors like Game Time.
All right, I don't know where my Game Time ring went. I can't find it.
Well, Herb, I know that you went to Atlanta and you used Game Time, and it was fantastic because you bought tickets, and then you saw that on a different site, it was a little bit less in the same row. And you mentioned this to Game Time, and in under 12 minutes, you got the Game Time guarantee, which is 110% of the difference. So shout out to Game Time for always getting the lowest prices so you don't have to stress when you're buying tickets, huh?
Exactly. You shouldn't have to stress. They believe in that because Game Time is the fast and easy way for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. You can see the view from your seats. And if you're going to Wrigley ever, you know that's very valuable. And all-in prices show you the total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without any of the hidden fees. You can buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Game Time has deals right up to the start of the event and even an hour after the event start. It's the place to go for last-minute seats. Like next week when you join us for the opening day broadcast at Ballpark Pub. You don't plan on going to the game, and then an hour into the game, you're like, let me go check out Game Time and see those seats be lower than the other secondary market seats. Find exclusive, and also you don't have to put money into Jerry Ryan's pockets. Find exclusive flash deals, sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with zone deals, you can pick the section. Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Thank you. You know, fellas, I was very, you know, I love the convenience of a remote show like we're doing today. You know, you can get some stuff done around the house, but then I realized, oh no, I won't have access to our wonderful CHGO office's fridge, which is full of delicious Leinenkugel's beer. Some of the finest products of Wisconsin innovation reside in that very fridge. You know, so today I'm not able to enjoy a Sunset Wheat. I'm not able to enjoy a Berry Vice. I'm not able to enjoy a Lakeside Cherry. But then I remembered I can just stroll on out to the Jewel later today and go get myself a whole big box full of Summer Shandy.
You can get it delivered.
Apparently, according to our ad read, you can. But listen, guys, despite all the snow that is falling from the sky, it is Shandy season. I know this to be true because you walk through the aisles of the Jewel and, oh, there it is on display, Summer Shandy. It's ready to go. One of the many great results of Wisconsin innovation, the same things that brought us the cheese curd and in the indoor water park and the Summerfest. Guys, the Summerfest lineup is out. You can go see it. But it has also brought us Leinenkugel's and great Summer Shandy that you can use on a day like today when you just wish that it was more summery outside, or that pitch perfect, of course, summer day when you might be sitting by the lake and you're like, ah, want a little something to go with this picnic. Reach for that Summer Shandy. So, guys, flavor life's simple moments with Leinenkugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to Leine.com/CHGO to find, you said it, Sean, delivery options near you. That's Leine.com/CHGO, or pick up Leinenkugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Leinenkugel's, flavor the moment, celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls.
Yes. All right. So let's get into the rest of the position battles, and then we'll try to figure out the pitchers as well. The two that we haven't talked about, Moustakas versus Sheets, Shoemake versus Mendick versus Remillard. The one thing is Remillard's off the 40 man. So honestly, I feel like that rules him out. Mendick is as well, but it really feels okay. Well, never mind. Mendick is off there as well. Is Braden Shoemake the backup infielder? Because it seems like he's going to be at least healthy enough to make that a choice.
Yeah, I mean, what, as recently as last week, we heard that he was maybe going to be out for 2-4 weeks with the injury that he was dealing with down there. But here he is kind of back in action already down in spring training. So from everything we've heard from my colleagues who have still been down there in Arizona for the last few weeks, it seems like he might be the leading candidate. And certainly when you talk about roster realities, Sean, yeah, there's stuff they can do. If they want to get somebody who's not on the 40-man onto the 40-man, they can. There are people that they can kick off of it at the moment. It probably wouldn't be the end of the world, but certainly not as easily as it was, you know, a month or two ago. So with the moves that they've made. So it kind of sounds like Braden Shoemake might be the fifth infielder. Again, it's all about that versatility and being able to play second, short, and third. I don't think anybody's going to expect him to play first base, as the other two guys that we're going to talk about can probably do that.
Yeah, it's real tough to have a person have already the outfield spot be a person that has to be added to the 40 man, the extra outfielder. Then you're going to have an infielder spot that has to be added to the 40 man. That's going to be really tough. As I said before, when we're talking off air, there's probably four, if not five, possibilities of people that probably are projected to be on the roster that are currently not on the 40 man. So yeah, it's easy to get those 36 or 37 through 40 guys off the roster because obviously they're on a bad end of a roster of a bad team. But also, they would probably more likely have a person that is already on the roster just take the job of anybody, the backup infielder, because Remillard's not special and Mendick's not special. And if you lose them, I'm sure you can DFA either one of the two, and they'll probably just land back with the White Sox. So I think that the easier move, the less risky move, would be to put Braden Shumake there, see how he does as a backup infielder.
Okay. I don't know. I can't believe this. I feel like I trust Remillard more than Shumake. I guess we've been talking a ton about, you know, Garrett Crochet and letting the projects project and, you know, play for a bad team. So maybe Braden Shumake fits into that bucket, but I don't really, that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't know if I'd love to see him. I'd rather see Mendick, but again, he's not on the 40 man. Does that, going back to then Moustakas versus Sheets, Moustakas not on the 40 man, Sheets is, does that lean Gavin's way, especially with his production?
I don't think the 40 man has anything to do with this one. Perhaps I think more so the idea that Gavin Sheets has an option left might be the bigger roster machination that you might want to look at. But listen, Gavin Sheets has earned that spot. He's been excellent in spring training. If they want the guy who's looking the most productive at the moment, he would be the one. Mike Moustakas, especially early in camp when I was down there, looked like he was going to be a very positive clubhouse influence. Not that Gavin Sheets isn't. He's a good guy in the clubhouse as well. But I could see maybe where they would value some of those veteran skills that Moustakas has brought. But certainly right now, if you're handing out roster spots based on how you've done in the spring and earning those spots, Gavin Sheets looks like he has taken what didn't go well last year and really turned things around, at least early on. Obviously the games don't count at the moment, but it looks like he's in a good spot right now. But again, they could just send him down and bring him back up whenever they wanted to.
Agreed. And I think that you're gonna have to have some people added onto the 40 man, but I don't know if you want to have that 40 man for the middle infield spot. But for a guy like Mike Moustakas, the veteran, they know that player. Most of these guys know these players. I think he'll make the team. Mm. No?
I mean, this is a horrible position to put me in. I have been very, I'll even say, rude, mean, vile towards Gavin Sheets this offseason. And now I'm in a position where I have to defend Gavin Sheets and put him on the opening day roster. Gavin Sheets has been better than Mike Moustakas. Yeah, he's younger. Correct. And I really don't understand how bad the clubhouse is, because the only thing that's leaked out is this Grandal and Anderson thing. Was the clubhouse this bad that they need veteran presence? Because apparently even Chuck is mentioning, like, on Twitter that it's like, well, the whole reason that they're losing 100 games isn't even because of the talent, and they've cleaned that up. Like, It was the clubhouse that terrible where they need Mike Moustakas? Like, Gavin Sheets is just a better baseball player, it seems, and he's younger. Like, I get that he has the minor league option, but also, what does that tell Gavin Sheets? Where, hey, you just hit the cover off the baseball, you're feeling better than ever, go down to the minor leagues. Great job. Like, I don't know about that. And I don't know. I don't know.
That's a good point, Sean. I mean, we're talking about competition. The man has been knocking the ball off the cover, and then you're like, yeah, we like Mike Moustakas more. It's like, well, then I had no chance. I did the best right I could, and I put up the numbers representative of what you guys wanted, and now I'm in Charlotte for some damn reason.
I mean, let's be honest, too, though. Look at what this position is, right? I mean, nobody, you know, Gavin Sheets had a great spring, and still the best case scenario is that he gets to come off the bench every once in a while and pinch hit for somebody, right? I mean, like, this is... He's not going to be taking starts away from Andrew Vaughn. He's not going to be taking starts away from Eloy Jimenez. Those guys are going to get rest days, sure, but not so many that, like, you know, Gavin Sheets is being given a roster spot because he's going to get, you know, 100 starts this year. That's just not realistic.
But I think Gavin has such a longer baseball career ahead of him. I think Mike Moustakas' days are just numbered. I think it's just more of that. Like, Mike Moustakas probably won't go to the minor leagues. Like, I don't know. I think this is just the end of the road for him. And I like, is Sheets going to start in the minor leagues if he goes down there? Like, who's the first baseman down to Charlotte right now? I guess maybe Elko, but maybe he's even doing double A. I don't know. I don't think it's the worst thing that you have a guy develop as a right-handed masher, even if he's not going to start every day. I'm fine with Sheets. I would vote Sheets.
He has been better. You're not getting any argument from me that he has been the better player. I'm just providing reasons why they might go the other way. And I don't know if they will or not.
But think about this, Sean. I'm going Moose because of his versatility both at first and third. When Moncada needs a day off, you don't have a person that can really spell them. If we're not going to have Remillard on the team, we're not going to have Danny Mendick on the team, and Shoemaker is probably middle of the infield. So I think
Nicky, Moose will the young.
Yeah, those
they
guys
move
are
them around if they need to. Yeah,
yeah, but they're starting. Like, if one of those guys need a day off, then the other guy needs to come in. So Shoemaker would be that guy. But where is gonna be Mustafa? Like, Gravin can't play third base. He can only play DH
I guess,
designated hitter or right field.
The backup third baseman is Paul DeJong. I guess, you know, if you need a backup third baseman, Paul DeJong's not playing shortstop that day.
Oof. All right. I mean, hey, just make Danny Mendick the guy instead of Shoemaker, and then you have Gavin Sheets, and then it's the 2021 White Sox, and we feel a lot better about this team. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. But if we do include Shoemaker and Moose, that gets us up to 13 pitchers. So if you had, or 13 hitters, if you had those 13 hitters, it's Robert, Aloy, Moncada, Maldonado, Stassi, Vaughn, Lopez, DeJong, Benintendi, and then you have, I should have made this list all batters and then pitchers. Benny, Fletcher, Pilar, Shoemaker, and Moose. So that's your 13 hitters. And then we got five more spots left to fill out for pitchers. I think all of our four starters are here, but it doesn't seem clear who that fifth starter is, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I guess if you had to pick the one right now, you'd say Nick Nastrini, just because he's really the only one that's been talked about. I'm not really sure, you know, if you look around at the other candidates, who's the next best one to go with? I mean, Tuki Toussaint probably, right? I think Nastrini is probably there because he's the last man standing almost. Obviously, we've talked about some of the other non-roster guys who are still in camp. Brad Keller's still there. Chad Kuhl is still there. Jake Woodford's still there. But has there been much talk or discussion about these guys? You got Nick Nastrini throwing five innings in a spring training game here. So I think that I really think right now, if you had to pick one, he's the guy that would get that fifth spot. Now, as me and Herb were talking yesterday, Sean, does that mean he has to be on the opening day roster? I don't know. They might say, we don't need him till 6 days from now. We can move things around a little bit. Maybe we make that first fifth starter game a bullpen game. Then we don't need him for 2 weeks. I mean, there's a lot of things that they maybe could do. But I think if you're talking about who is this team's fifth starter moving forward, you got to pick somebody. It's got to be Nick Nastrini, just because he's been given the chance in camp, and he's done very well with that chance.
I know we're looking at the tweet, though, or I was looking earlier about the tweet that Daryl sent out about Nastrini starting five innings tomorrow and then Tuki doing two innings. To me, that tells me a little bit about who they're thinking of, and that gives me a clue of if this guy's doing five innings and the other guy that is a candidate maybe is only throwing two, they're trying to get them locked into their positions. Specifically, what Pedro said, these last five games are going to be more like ramping up to the regular season. So I think Nastrini has the in, but of course, again, another guy with a has to be added to the 40-man. So it's probably much easier, as Vinny said, to not have Nastrini on the opening day roster because he's not going to be starting that day anyway. So, and then add him when he needs to be started, and then DFA and or send somebody down when he needs to be starting, and then go along like that.
If we're trying to figure out the opening day roster, then Tuki probably makes the most sense to win the fifth starter option. Like, well, I get,
but there is no fifth.
I'll put fifth starter in quotes then. Yeah. Like, fifth starter, I don't know what they're going to plan on doing, but if you're saying that Nastrini won't be one of the first five opening pitchers for the Sox and he'll start in AAA, why would you burn a 40-man spot if they are kind of precious? Like, that's just my thoughts in looking at the 40-man. So then that rules out Keller, Kuhl, Woodford. Schuster's on the 40-man, but it seems clear that
he's already sent down. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have a plan for him. Kopech's on the 40-man, but he's obviously not a starter. He's been demoted, as Herb says.
But also remember, Sean, like, there's no rule that says you have to have five starting pitchers on your roster. You just have have 13. I'm just right. My point being that if we're talking about a scenario in which Nick Nastrini isn't on the roster for opening day, but he is the fifth starter, then they just don't have a fifth starter until he shows up.
Right. And I'm just saying, like, Tuki would just take his spot. Like, I'm just looking at the 40 man. Like, are we cutting people from the 40 man or not? Because I think Tuki obviously can go multiple innings, and he might not have been impressive so far, but he might be able to just give you two innings.
I think he's, I think he's in the bullpen regardless. I think he's the long man in the bullpen regardless.
Okay, well, I didn't include my guy, Davey Garcia. Here are the pitchers I have so far. Crochet, Fetty, and then we'll go to Soroka and Flexen. Those are the four starters. If you want to include Nastrini or Tukey, we'll figure that out. But it doesn't seem like opening day will include a quote-unquote fifth starter. But then we have Tim Hill, John Brebbia, Michael Kopech, Steven Wilson, and then Tukey Toussaint in the bullpen so far. So we got four more spots to fill. Can I write in the Davey train? Is Davey Garcia a major leaguer? He's on the 40 man. I just want to make sure that I'm not getting a little too bright eyed and bushy tailed about my guy.
I think you can write in Davey Garcia. I think you can write in Tanner Banks as a left-hander and as somebody who's performed really well this spring and just was always kind of there when called on the last couple of years. So I think you can write him in there too. So him, Garcia, and Tukey probably take three of those four outstanding bullpen spots. The last one, who knows? And then obviously you've got an open spot because of the lack of a fifth starter, we'll say for now. So two more opening day pitchers to get to, but that doesn't mean that they're all going to be hanging around for a long time because you'll probably see that fifth starter called on after a week or so.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and maybe they do, instead of the players that we're talking about for the other positions, they have one of those players fill up the 40-man instead of the fifth roster spot, and then they still have one bullpen spot left over. And I know who I want there, and I think AJ has the same mind. I think all of us have the same mind. Jordan Leisure has been nothing short of incredible this spring training, and if it's competition that they want it, they got it. That man has stepped up big time.
Okay, so Leisure's your pick. He's not on the 40 man, but he'd obviously, you know, have to be added. Jordan says Leisure's happening. Is Leisure happening, Vinny? I know that you were obviously hyping up Leisure. I know you again, don't want to, maybe happening's too tough of a word for a report.
Yeah, I mean, it's not official until it's official, right? But I mean, it certainly looks possible. I mean, when you look at the other names, the only ones that jump out to me from the non-roster side, Brian Shaw and Jesse Chavez. These maybe are, you know, obviously varying degrees of success this spring. But I think when both of those guys were signed to their minor league deals, I think everybody looked at it and went, yeah, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Certainly Shaw, with what he was able to do over the last month for this White Sox team, the familiarity plays in. And then Chavez, who was just excellent for the Braves last year. So there's a lot of other guys in there too. Like you said, I think I counted off 22 of them in attempting to make a list. So that's an awful lot. The White Sox say there's 24. So there's even people I'm not thinking of, but I think those are probably the ones that those are the ones that you would consider. But yeah, Jordan Leisure, he's done enough to win a spot. He has been excellent. And not only that, but you're looking for maybe to develop this guy as a closer. Why not start doing it right away? He looks great right now.
And I know Sean loves, and I know Pedro loves rubber arm Brian Shaw, but really, I don't know what he brings to the table other than just innings. And he's an older dude. Like, Jordan Leisure is in the youth of his career. Let's go and do things like that this year instead of giving older people jobs for a team that's going to suck.
I hear you, but I don't know if it's going to be Leisure right away. I'm not against it. If it is, I'm totally fine because he looks incredible. He hasn't allowed a single run, so he's definitely earned it. Him and Davey and Tanner Banks, I think, have ERAs under 120, so that's pretty damn good. But guys with 250 ERAs that have been, I don't know if we heard a ton about Leon so much, Dominic Leon, but we have heard a ton about, is it Justin Anderson? We're still learning his name. Yeah, Justin Anderson. Both those guys have 250 ERAs. Do they go with Leon and Anderson because they have major league experience and they've been effective in spring training? I don't think there's a rush to call up Leisure. I think there's also, you can make the argument, what else does he have to show you because he has been phenomenal and the fastball plays because it's an 80 grade. So, I mean, I think Leisure has a ton of, you know, interesting things about him to make the team, but I don't know if there's a rush to push him up.
There's not. And certainly a guy like Leon, you know, pitched under Brian Bannister, you know, recently in San Francisco. So he's somebody that they might have some faith in to deliver what they need, that what they need out of a guy. And Ethan Katz has history with Justin Anderson. So, you know, kind of the same argument there could be made. Certainly Anderson hasn't pitched in the majors since 2019. So that's something to remember. You know, if you're going to give a shot to somebody and you're trying to think of, oh, well, why not Leisure? You know, Justin Anderson hasn't pitched in the majors as much as Leisure has in the last 3 or 4 years. So we'll see how it goes. And listen, you know, I think Pedro is getting flack for, you know, say, or getting eye rolls at the very least for saying like, oh, we're still deciding. It's the end of camp and it's coming down to the wire on all these roster spots. Maybe in some cases it is, you know, one or two with a handful of guys who are impressing in the bullpen who could, you know, find their way into some innings. Let's remember too what bullpens are like, guys, during the season, because it's very possible, you know, that game two, game three, game four, you're already making moves to kind of maneuver in that bullpen, whether it be because of injury or overuse. You know, heck, we're talking about not knowing how long Garrett Crochet is going to last in his starts. And you can see that almost kind of start getting ready for that snowball to start rolling downhill in terms of the effect on the bullpen. You're going to need more arms than just the guys you put in there on opening day. And you might need them right away too.
I don't know. There's not necessarily a deadline except for the opening day roster for them to pare down, but having 45 men now on the roster, is that usual, Vinny, for this time so close to the opening day?
No, this is a lot. I think it's been unusual from before position players even showed up until all the way through to now. I mean, there's been a lot of guys in Sox camp from the jump, and there are a lot of guys still in Sox camp right now. I mean, seriously, we're talking about what? Not 10 guys competing for
18.
No, I mean 10 guys competing for three bench spots still with 3 days of camp left. So, I mean, you know, that's a lot. There's a lot of players here. You know, 24 pitchers still in camp 3 days before they leave. Yeah, it's a lot.
All right. So tell me where I'm wrong. The 13 batters that I have on the 26-man roster, our projection for opening day, now that we have, you know, 44 people to pick from instead of 70, Robert Jr., Aloy, Moncada, Maldonado, Stassi, Vaughn, Lopez, DeYoung, Benintendi, then we have Fletcher, Pilar, Shoemake, Moose. Those are your hitters. We cool with that as a podcast?
Sure, we're cool with that as a podcast.
Herb, you're unmuted. Okay, you're fine. All right. Just want to make sure. I don't have speaker forever. Hold your peace. And then the 13 pitchers I have, Crochet, Soroka, Fetty, Flexen, no quote unquote fifth starter, because we assume that Nastrini might even be up as soon as April, just not right away. Then in the bullpen, the 9 pitchers, Tukey, Kopech, Hill, Brebbia, Wilson, Steven Wilson from the Cease trade, Davey Garcia, Tanner Banks, Dominic Leon, Justin Anderson.
I don't know if we could sit here and say that Dominic Leon and Justin Anderson are making the team. I don't know about that.
This is
over Shaw?
I would take Leon and Anderson because Shaw's gone down. Sean was down in Charlotte last year. I don't think he'd care.
But they might like it better.
Shaw, Chavez, Leon, and Anderson all need to make the 40 man. But here's the thing with the 40 man. There's, I think, four guys on the that could go to the 60 day. Schultens is there, so I don't know if that counts.
It Foster's doesn't. He's there already.
Okay, Foster's already there too.
Correct.
Then possibly you can add Jimmy Lambert. We're not really sure the status of Jimmy Lambert. Davis Martin, I'm not sure if he needs less than 60 days, but I think that they were saying he can get back from June or July. That's still 60 days out until from opening day. And then also Shane Drohan, who had shoulder surgery, he might be able to be added to the 60 days. So, I mean, there's three possible spots they can clear up, and we have four guys being added: Pilar, Moose, Anderson, and Leon. So, I mean, unless they're going with, I don't know, it doesn't even look like there's anyone like still like 40 men wise. Someone would have to be added because all the guys that are competing are NRIs.
Like you guys are suggesting, where Gavin makes a team and Moose is just DFA'd, only need three then.
Sure.
Yes.
And remember too, I mean, if you're picking Jordan Leisure would need to be added to the 40 man, or need to be added to the 40 man. Nick Nastrini would need to be added to the 40 man too. If you're saying, even if you're saying he's not going to be on the opening day roster, if he's here 5 days later, he'll need to be added to the 40 man.
Right. Well, that's why I think we talked Tukey versus Nastrini, like maybe it's just Nastrini replaces Tukey if that's the case. But I think
Tukey is in the bullpen. You need a long man.
Okay. But to be fair, Davey Garcia can throw multiple innings, and Michael Kopech can throw multiple innings, and Tanner Banks can throw multiple innings. They got three long inning guys outside of Tukey.
Well, don't you want Davey Garcia to be the closer?
Yeah, but how many games are they going to close?
I mean, we're talking about Michael Kopech maybe being a closer. You're going to make him your mop up guy when your starter gets knocked out in the second inning.
You also have Brebbia, though. I mean, they signed Brebbia to good money. I don't know if they look for staves for Brebbia. I know Steven Wilson's been pretty consistent. I don't know if you look for Steven Wilson in a high leverage situation. I mean, again, how many games is this team going to realistically need to close out too?
Well, sure, but you don't want to have your closer and your mop-up guy be the same person.
Yeah. I mean, I think Brebbia will be more of the closer. I don't think it's going to be Kopech. I know they floated that idea, but I don't think there's been anything that screams Kopech can handle high leverage. I mean, he can barely even handle the first batter of a game.
It's not what Pedro says.
Well, I don't like Pedro. I like Davey Garcia though. And if it's Davey Garcia for closer, he's the next Mariano Rivera. And that's just
then Pedro's back on your good side. If he makes Davey the closer.
If David Garcia is the, if there's any moves that I like, it's either Brian Bannister's decision or Chris Getz. And honestly, I lean more closer to Brian Bannister than Chris Getz. AJ is asking in the chat, who on the 40 man do we think gets cut? I think the person that we think is most likely to get cut, if there is a cut, if they don't have to with 60 day IL maneuvering, I think the most likely pitcher to get cut would be Sammy Peralta. And the most likely hitter to be cut would be
Popeye, probably, right?
Popeye, Lenin, or even, I would even throw in, I know Herb is going to freak out, but Deloach.
No, they just traded for him.
Exactly.
Why would you DFA a guy you just traded for?
It's a 3-for-1. I mean, he's 33% of the return.
Yeah, but a big part of the return as far as that Seattle trade.
He's knocking on the door, too.
Yeah. I get it.
They just
got him. As I just talked about Dominic Fletcher, they want this guy to succeed either way. Either they can flip him later on or him being a Major League Baseball player for the White Sox. So it'd be tough for you to DFA the guy you just picked up 2 months ago.
So who do you – then Shoemaker or Sosa or Popeye? Yeah. Sosa or Popeye then.
Easy, yeah, easy.
No, but like who do you think?
I'm thinking since he doesn't have the power that – Lenin has, I would say Popeye.
But he's younger.
I would agree.
I mean, he's younger,
but he's not good. Like, I mean, the idea is, is anybody going to pick him up? Like, if you dump Popeye Rodriguez, there could be a line of teams like being like, oh, you screwed up now. We get Popeye Rodriguez. Like, and maybe he gets claimed. That's fine. But like the idea that like he's, oh boy, they better not get rid of Popeye Rodriguez. Like they called him up to the majors last year and wouldn't even let him hit.
Right. But then even with Lenin's older, does he look like less of a, like, less of a runway. I get that maybe he's closer to the major leagues, but he also was pretty bad in the major leagues. Yeah. It's like both of these guys can be fairly bad. Popeye's 2 years younger. Does the age lean for a team to be like, oh, well, there's clearly a higher ceiling or more of a ceiling possibly just because he is younger? I don't know.
Hey, if they've got to add two position players, if they're adding Pilar and Moustakas, then they got to get rid of two guys, and maybe it's both of them.
Maybe. Or maybe it's Sammy Peralta. Goodbye, Sammy Peralta. It's been nice. Those are our projections for the 40-man roster and the 26-man roster. If you haven't signed up to become a diehard like our pal AJ is, I think we also got a couple more diehards in the chat, but I'm not going to scroll up because I'll start getting dizzy. But we do want to thank our new diehards like Robbie, Kyle, Paul, and Neil.
Grossman's a diehard?
Is that what he was doing in his free time?
I'm telling you, this is on in the jumbo and the jumbotron at whatever ballpark, or if they're at home or if they're at Ho-Ho Cam, I'm not sure, but it's on right now.
We are.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay. Well, then, hello, everyone. It's great to see you. Hi, Pedro Grafal. Hi, Dominic Fletcher. Can't wait to see you on the 29th. Sign up to become a diehard today is what I was mainly going to say. You get a free t-shirt or t-shirt of your choice. When you sign up, you get access to the CHGO Lounge. It's where our diehards get to chat to each other. You also get a membership card along with access to the exclusive diehard articles that are posted on all CHGO. Any final thoughts, Herb? Because it seems like you're...
Yeah, Eddie Rodriguez, White Sox third baseman's in the house too. It's good to see that.
Is he?
In the chat?
He doesn't. Is he EDDY or is he IE?
He spells it correctly. Sorry, ED.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at EckerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Steven for producing the show. We will not be here on Monday or Tuesday. We will have a show on Wednesday. And then obviously we have our pregame festivities at the Ballpark Pub at 514 West Pershing.
Correct.
Bingo.
And that's, of course, sponsored by Line and Kugel's.
And of course, it's sponsored by the Wisconsin innovators of Line and Kugel. Make sure you are hitting the RSVP button. I think there is a link in the description. You can go RSVP, tell Ballpark Pub that you're coming. It's no charge to RSVP. We just want to get a head count. So if you are planning to come out and hang out and see Herb and I in chat, come RSVP and join us at Ballpark Pub. That is going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. We will see you next week when it's the start of the 2024 season. Goodbye.
We all silly like the mayor.